We're reading this morning's text 6 weeks after our celebration of Easter. But in Luke, the only gospel that tells the story of Jesus' ascension, this is happening the day after the resurrection. This story takes place right after the story of Cleopas and the other disciple walking along the road to Emmaus. Jesus speaks these words to the disciples who are gathered together, unpacking what has just happened when Jesus appears to them, shows his hands and his feet, and they share a meal of broiled fish. It's after he finishes eating that Jesus launches into this final speech, reminding them what he came to do, that he came to proclaim forgiveness and repentance for anyone who wants to hear it. And that those who are gathered together, who had just been through so much and likely suffering a little bit of whiplash, they had been witness to all of it. And now they were being sent out. He blesses them, and then we are told he withdrew from them and was carried into heaven. This is the end of a chapter. Next, the disciples will have to get on with things, but first they are told to wait, that God is going to send them help, which we will hear about next week and which the children, I think, really beautifully described for us. So here's my question for us this morning, and it's something that came up in Bible study for us this week as well. How do we claim this faith of ours, our identity as Christians, as followers of this group? When you hear in today's gospel from Jesus that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled, and then he opens their minds to understanding the scriptures, what do you notice about you? Your faith, how you stake your claim on your identity as one who follows Jesus, hearing these words spoken. We, as liberal Christians in 2026, try to be very careful about how we identify ourselves, how we speak about our faith, if we do it at all outside of these walls. And how we understand the words of the prophets in the Old Testament. We want to be respectful of our neighbors, and rightly so. Growing up, I was told that we do not speak about religion or politics, that they are private matters. But I would like to respectfully disagree with my parents on this one. The very commandment that we are charged with is to love our neighbors. But I worry sometimes that this has led us to disassociate ourselves from speaking about our faith and much of the Old Testament so that we have no idea what to do with it, which I worry leads to then a larger problem. But Jesus is very clear. He understands himself to be the fulfillment of the law and what the prophets were calling for, and we say that we believe him. And so we cannot read the Old Testament in any other way than through the eyes of followers of Jesus. And that means the Psalms and the calls for a Messiah. And it is okay that our Jewish neighbors don't agree with us. We aren't Jewish. And let me be very careful here and clear. It does not mean that the Jewish community is wrong. We don't agree on certain things, and that is okay. We can still be careful and respectful of each other. We can still work together and support one another. In fact, I work with Rabbi Susie down the road regularly, and I am grateful for our shared ministry together. Who around you at your family dinner tables agree with every other person at that table? I should not put my hand up. We do not need to fight about who is right. That is the complexity of life. And I'm not even sure that that is the point. I think that it is about being faithful to God with our hearts and our minds and our actions so we can claim our identity and our understanding of who Jesus is without being disrespectful to anyone else. In fact, that might be what faithfulness looks like. We can claim our belief, our understanding that Jesus came to fulfill the law and to teach us how to live. We leave here each Sunday being commissioned to go in peace and share the good news. But I worry that we have become so afraid to speak about our faith or claim our identity that we don't talk about it at all. And that's a problem. Because some people are speaking about their faith in really loud and bold ways and using Jesus' name to condemn and harm others, which, at least in my reading of the Bible, is the exact opposite of what Jesus came to do and is saying to this group, gathered in the room, digesting fish together. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. We are here to live out the love and the grace and the forgiveness that we receive in knowing Jesus and to share what we receive with all that we encounter, whether they agree with us or not. We are here to take care of our neighbors, to listen for the nudging of the Holy Spirit, and to follow that direction. We are not here to condemn or to harm. And so claim who you are and who you are following. Do not be afraid to speak about your faith and what it teaches you about how to live in this world. Do not be reticent about what you believe, about sharing what you believe, about who and whose you are. This morning, I hope to encourage you to be bold in naming your identity as a follower of Jesus. I worry that we have become so nervous about offending or upsetting others that we have lost our voice. And louder voices have filled in the space, using it to sow division and harm vulnerable people. And so if you take anything away from this morning, I hope it is encouragement to speak boldly the love that you know in Jesus, that you would claim your identity as a follower of Christ and learn to speak it in the world. And do that with whatever you're doing, delivering sandwiches, visiting people, offering kindness to a stranger, praying for the safety of our refugee family, whatever it looks like that you do out in the world, claim it as your identity as a follower of Christ, as a part of your Christian identity, and refuse to allow the words of division and condemnation to be the last words that people hear on Jesus. Do not be afraid. And peace be with you are words that are used when God comes close. And we know that Jesus is never very far away. Why do you look up? The work of restoring or bringing about the kingdom of God is right here, and it is yours and mine to do. And I believe that we do it by knowing who we are, by speaking love and grace and forgiveness, and living it out in our lives, in the world, boldly and unafraid. Because we have been blessed and sent to bring about the kingdom of God together. Amen.